Welcome to the Harshman Travel Radio Show segment on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts, Pamela and Ron Harshman and Peter Mingles. Make sure you check us out by clicking on the Harshman Travel Radio Show link on buildingfortunesradio.com. That's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. Pam and Ron's success as entrepreneurs has allowed them to pursue their passion in the travel industry. Listen to Harshman Travel Radio Show and learn about Pam and Ron as they discover the joy that comes from being part of the travel industry. You might have a chance of working with them in their business ventures and your travel plan. So listen in and enjoy the journey. Now on to our Building Fortunes Radio Show with Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Mingles. Let's get started, Peter.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You're listening to us on Building Fortunes Radio. It's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. It's a Friday night. It's 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time for all those people that are unfamiliar with this. Every Friday for like a decade plus, we've been doing a radio show with Pam and Ron Harshman on their own radio show. We call it Harshman Travel Radio. If you go to harshmantravel.com, you'll be able to see their really cool website. And if you go to buildingfortunesradio.com/Harshman Travel or Harshman, you'll be able to find the previous radio shows that we've done here on this. And the way this whole thing got started is many years ago when I wanted to have a bigger microphone and a wonderful platform to be able to showcase really cool things that people were doing working home-based businesses. I asked Pam Harshman, who was building MLM companies back at that time, to host one of our radio shows. And the reason why I wanted that is because Pam was such a great upline, they call it. She was a great boss, if you will, where she was always super-duper organized, always made sure that everybody was taken care of. She was somebody that would set up all the tools and the systems and the organization. She was just always super-duper reliable, lots of integrity and all that sort of stuff. And I said, you know, what better person to have on a guest host than Pam? Well, she kind of informed me that she was going to be moving in the direction of becoming a traditional travel agent. And I said, ooh, well, that, nah, I got to figure out how that works because I like you. And I wondered, like, how could we do this? And it just took me a little bit of time because I have a very creative and idle mind. I just said, like, how do I make this work? And I said, you know, well, I like to travel. Lots of other people like to travel. Travel is something that's on the goals list of just about everybody that I know of. And almost universally, people say, I'd love to be able to make more money and travel. So the reality is okay, well, the other things that I knew is that if you're going to travel and spend your hard-earned dollars, and more importantly, besides the money, your time and your experience, you want to do it with somebody that's going to make sure there's no, you know, fatal flaws and interruptions that are self-inflicted and all those other types of things. So Pam would be great at this. So I said, you know, why don't we do radio shows anyway? Because a lot of our customers like to travel. And I know you're always good at what you do, and you'll be certified in all the areas you need to be certified in. And when people call back because they're having a challenge with anything, you're going to remember who they are, as opposed to if they booked on something online, didn't read the fine print or read the rules or all that sort of stuff. So let's do them anyway. So this is one of our longest radio shows. We do this with husband Ron Harshman as well. And what I wanted to do with the first half of this radio show is share my level of enthusiasm for their background and their integrity. So they're going to give you their backgrounds first, and then we'll take a commercial break. And then afterwards, one of my favorite parts of the week is to listen to Ron tell us what's new and give us the good news in the travel industry. So there's a lot of really great things happening. So we'll start off with backgrounds first. So Pam, over to you. Thanks for being here on your own radio show.
Hi, Peter. Thanks for having us again. A little bit about my background is I started my working as a 911 dispatcher up in the Pacific Northwest and was doing that for several years. Then slow but sure moved myself up into court administration. Absolutely loved my job. However, I met my husband who was clear cross country down in sunny Florida, and needless to say, I joined him down there and was kind of a culture shock, but once down here, I didn't want to start at the bottom of the ladder or anywhere close, so I was kind of looking around for something to do that would let me work primarily independently and hopefully from home. I ended up getting my realtor's license and followed that with my broker's license and sold real estate in South Florida for several years. However, that just was not my niche, and so I went and got my life and health insurance license and sold Medicare supplements to the senior population. I absolutely loved it. I loved having the satisfaction and felt my job was very important in letting seniors know what the whole story was so that they could make an intelligent decision about their health care, because once they turn 65 and trying to navigate through the health care system, in my opinion, that was probably the most important decision they were going to have to make in their golden years, and it could literally be a matter of life and death. So it was very rewarding for me, and at the same time, it was a lot of fun. It was a matter of, I could go out on a call that I thought I was going to a woman or a couple, and ended up walking in on a table full of ladies that had it all set up as nothing short of a tea party, or several couples that were going to end up playing cards when we were finished, or, you know, just sitting down with one person. I just never knew what was going to be going on when I went to somebody's home. So it was always, the little bit of unknown was always kind of fun. But at the same time, I was getting those carrots dangling in front of me on my Facebook news feed about home-based businesses, MLMs. And I had joined several different ones. A couple of them were not so good. They were my losers. But then I had some good winners at the same time. But I also learned a whole lot, and that allowed me to work up our website even. But there was so much internet stuff, being that I'm a baby boomer, so I really wasn't born into this. So there was a lot that I had learned through working the home-based businesses. And that's, you had mentioned it earlier, I was a customer of yours on the PM marketing side, and ended up, you know, we just kind of hit it off, and we have been friends for a really long time. It seems like forever. You said many, many moons ago. I think it was many, many, many moons. But anyway, so, yeah, that was all good and dandy, and between the two jobs, it kept me very busy. And it just so happened that one day when I was out doing my travels for my med subs, a girlfriend had called me and asked me if Ron and I had ever thought about becoming travel agents. And, you know, it just kind of totally dumbfounded me, because it hadn't even been a week prior to that. Ron and I were sitting there, you know, kicking it around that we were baby boomer empty nesters, had some disposable income, and basically we were both in charge of our own schedules. So we were kind of comparing back and forth our bucket lists and where would we like to go first, and prioritizing this and that, and, you know, just having fun with it. So when she said that, it threw me aback, and I could not wait to get home to Ron, because that thought never crossed my mind. And once I got home, we sat down and we talked about it. We did some investigations on the internet and weighed the pros and cons, and ultimately decided to move forward and got all the education we could get our hands on, and then the proper licensures. And bottom line is, we've probably done a whole lot more travel than we would have done otherwise. And at the same time, we've helped an awful lot of people stretch their travel dollars. So it has been a win-win all the way around for us until that C word, COVID, hit. And that basically stopped travel worldwide. So we are so pleased now that things are back up and running very strong, stronger than ever. And we are back in business full swing and loving every minute of it.
Excellent. Okay, Ron, and over to you.
All righty. Thanks, Peter. Good to be here with you again. My background is very different from Pam's. Spent many, many years as a licensed clinical psychologist, very heavily involved in my own clinical practice, my own clinical doings, but I also chose to become very seriously involved with the self-administrative aspects of the profession. When I first got started, a very good friend of mine, a mentor, in fact, suggested to me that it would really be a good idea for me to get involved in the Provincial Association of Psychologists. He felt that I had a lot to offer and also felt that it would be very rewarding for me to get involved and to really see a lot of the profession that most professionals do not see, do not know anything about. And I think that's true of pretty much any of the professions. Most professionals will join their professional association. They might attend an annual conference or something. But to a large extent, that's the end of what they know about everything going on with the profession. It's very small number of professionals who ever actually get involved in the legal aspects, the different organizational things, the ethics committees, professional affairs committees, the interagency things, intergovernment responsibilities, etc. So I was very pleased to take her up on that suggestion. I did get involved with the Provincial Association fairly quickly and was on their board of directors, and fairly soon also chose to get involved with the National Association, the Canadian Psychological Association, and I was very fortunate because I was elected as chair of the Applied Division of that organization, sat on several ethics committees, professional affairs committees, represented the Canadian Association with the sister association here in the States, the American Psychological Association, and really saw a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff that was going on and really opened my eyes to a lot of things that I would never would have been aware of had I not chosen to get involved. At the end of my career, I was very, very humbled and honored to be elected as an honorary lifetime fellow of the Canadian Association. So, again, it was a good opportunity for me, and really added a lot to my professional career. In terms of my own clinical practice, I was very fortunate both in my undergraduate and graduate years to have professors that really stressed the idea that if we were thinking of going into private practice at any time, it would really be important for us before doing that to get as much varied clinical experience as we could, working with as many clinical populations as we could, because they made the point that was very well taken that when you go into private practice and you start seeing patients, you have no idea of who's going to call to make an appointment, why they're going to come in to see you, what their life situation is, what the problem is that they're facing, what they're needing help with, etc. And if you don't have a clue about the life situations that they are trying to work through, you can really end up doing a lot more damage than good. And I took that advice very much to heart. And even as an undergrad, when I started working, I made the commitment that I was going to end up working for as many of the social service delivery systems as I could before going into private practice. And as a result of that, I ended up with very, very varied experience clinically, working in corrections alcohol and drug abuse, residential treatment, psychiatric hospitals, voc rehab, et cetera, et cetera. When I got into private practice, it didn't take me long to really start specializing, working in the whole area of child custody disputes, going through divorce actions. And at the time, there were some major changes happening in the judicial system. Up until that time, it had pretty much been a pre-drawn conclusion that if you had a young couple going through divorce with young children involved, and there was a dispute over custody, the courts would give custody to mommy and visitation to daddy. And although that worked out in many cases, we were seeing too many cases, and more all the time, where not only was it not a good outcome, it was a very destructive and bad outcome. And as a result of that, we saw some major changes in the judicial system where the justices in the Supreme Court in Canada and in many of the family courts here in the States made the determination that going forward, any decisions made with respect to child custody in child custody disputes had to be based on the psychological best interests of the children involved. And obviously that was a very wise decision, a very good decision, and as a result, it forced a number of professionals in the mental health field, both clinical social workers and clinical psychologists, to get together and start developing standardized procedures to actually investigate and examine what would be in the child's best interests in disputed custody matters. And as luck would have it, I was very fortunate to be heavily involved in that whole movement during the time that changes were being made in the judicial system, and really was one of the first psychologists to be appointed by the Supreme Court in Canada to represent the child's best interest in disputed custody matters. And as a result of a number of life happenings, I also ended up down in South Florida working with a forensic psychiatrist who thought that what we were doing up in Canada was just phenomenal and wanted me to introduce that whole system in the South Florida courts, which I was able to do. Anyhow, after Pam and I got together, we weren't together that long before we decided to semi-retire. We moved from Southeast Florida over to Southwest Florida, started raising alpacas. As Pam said, she got involved in the multi-level marketing home-based business arena, and although I did not get involved in that, I fully supported her doing it. But when she came home and said she wanted us to really talk about the possibility of becoming professional travel consultants, that was something that just grabbed both of us. We really saw it as an opportunity to enjoy something that we really wanted to do, which was travel. But it also allowed us to put into play a number of the skills and things that we were doing and that I was doing, particularly in the court systems, et cetera, and in my clinical practice, and work with families that were doing things and planning things related to positive life situations instead of what I had been doing in the clinical area, dealing with people going through very difficult and heavy psychological life situations. In any event, when we decided to get involved, we made the decision that if we were going to do it, we would do it the right way. We would get all the proper training, we would get all the proper licensures, and we would also spend the time and the effort to find those travel vendors that we felt comfortable working with and who we felt we could support. And that has worked out very, very well for us. We've ended up doing a lot more travel than we ever would have been able to do had we not become professional travel consultants. And we've also helped many, many people make the most of their travel time and money. So after the break, a lot of interesting things going on in the travel industry to talk about tonight.
Excellent. Okay, good. So you can take as much time as you want after the break. We'll be right back.
You've been listening to the Harshman Travel Radio Show on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Mingle. This special segment can be heard again with almost any device connected to the Internet by going to buildingfortunesradio.com. That's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. Listen in often and get to know Pam and Ron. Go to the buildingfortunesradio.com website to listen in to the show. No matter where you're at in life, you can benefit by listening to and by working with Pam and Ron. Let them book your next cruise, vacation getaway, or group event. Listen to Harshman Travel Radio and witness their ability to pursue their dreams in the field they love. Thanks for listening. And now, back to the Harshman Travel Radio Show.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You are going to hear Ron give us the good news, which is what happened in the travel industry. And you can check this out again on buildingfortunesradio.com/Harshman or Harshman Travel. And if you go back to their website, harshmantravel.com, you'll be able to see a lot of this cool stuff as well. So, Ron, over to you.
All righty. Thanks, Peter. A lot of interesting things this week on the not-so-good side. I mentioned the last time we got together that because of what was going on in Haiti, it was really upsetting a number of itineraries, particularly with Royal Caribbean, because they have their own private island over there in Labadee, Haiti, and all of their ships, pretty much for all of their itineraries, will stop and have a day at that island. And unfortunately, because of what's happening in Haiti, they have had to reroute all of their ships and make many, many itinerary changes. And as a result, every one of their ships is not stopping there, but making different stops at different places throughout the Caribbean. Hopefully that situation is going to settle sooner rather than later, and hopefully things will get back to normal. But at this point in time, just on the basis of safety for their crew members, their ships, and obviously their clients on board, Royal Caribbean has canceled all of the itinerary stops in Labadee. On the positive side, according to the 2024 Cruise Industry News Annual Report, the Caribbean market is set for another strong year in 2024. It's expected that almost half of the global passenger capacity will see the Caribbean. They are expecting up to a 40% share of the world's cruise market going to the Caribbean. At some point, the number of cruise lines that are there is increasing. The number of individual ships that are there is increasing, and the latest data showed that a total of 42 cruise lines are set to offer at least one itinerary in the Caribbean in 2024, and the number of cruise lines that have been there that are increasing their Caribbean capacity include MSC, Norwegian, Princess, Oceania, Virgin Voyages, and Margarita at Sea. So good things happening throughout that particular area. Another good thing that happened, it's happening very shortly, is, and I've talked about this before, MSC is the first Western cruise line that is starting back up in China, and they will be having their first movement back into the Chinese market here in early 2024, and they are expected to increase. They presently have one ship there. They are expecting to increase that, and again, it's nice to see the resurgence after the fiasco that we had with COVID, to see the cruise industry resurrecting worldwide. It's not just here in the States or the Northern Caribbean, or Northern Hemisphere, I'm sorry. An interesting thing that was just announced, and I was not aware of this, but Carnival Cruise Lines, up until 2023, I guess, after nearly two decades, they had aboard one of their ships a replica of Michelangelo's statue of David. And they just announced that in April, they will have a return of David on the Carnival Firenze, which is going to be sailing out of Long Beach. So that's an interesting byproduct that I didn't know anything about, but I found fairly interesting. Other interesting things that are happening, Disney, and I've talked many times before about how pleased I am to see that Disney Cruise Lines has remained very, very removed from the wokeness of the Disney Corporation. And anytime we get good news about Disney Cruises, I really enjoy reporting on that. And they are going to have a new ship called the Disney Destiny. And she is scheduled for delivery in 2025. And she will be set to work pretty soon. Oceania Cruises has for a long time had a reputation of being the culinary masters at sea, and they have just announced having two master chefs of France join their executive as executive culinary directors, and as a result of that, they are going to really be enhancing their entire culinary experience on board, and again, it's nice to see the cruise lines dedicate in some particular position or event type of thing where they feel they can make the mark, and with Oceania, that has certainly been in the culinary arena. Another interesting thing that was announced just this week is that the Australian billionaire Clive Palmer and his company Blue Star Line have relaunched the plan to build the Titanic II, which is a replica of the ship that sank in 1912. This billionaire and former member of the Australian Parliament made the announcement at a press conference in Sydney. He said that he is planning to secure a shipyard and start building the vessel, quote, far, far superior than the original, and they are expecting that they will begin construction early next year. Apparently, he had already started and stopped the project twice before in 2012 and 2018. He blamed the pandemic for the delays, but this time he has assured the public that he has, quote, enough money to build the Titanic 10 times over, unquote. And he said, so I could do the Titanic. I'm going to do it. It's a lot more fun to do the Titanic than it is to sit at home and count my money. All you need to be happy, I've found in my life, is to have someone that loves you, somewhere to sleep at night, and enough for a good meal. So I guess when you have that much money, building the Titanic is something that you can look at as just a weekend joy. This little venture is scheduled to run somewhere between $500 million and $1 million, and they are going to build this ship. It is slated to be 833 feet long by 105 feet wide. It will have a capacity for 2,345 passengers. There will be 835 cabins, and nearly half of the cabins will be reserved for first-class passengers. But he also made the announcement that third-class passengers will be able to dine on stew and mashed potatoes at communal tables in a dining room reminiscent to the original ship. However, a spokesman did note that alternative meal options will also be available for passengers seeking a less traditional experience. So Titanic 2 is on the brink of existence and will be here within the next couple of years. The latest number of ships that are on the drawing board, the report came out this week. We have 54 ocean-going cruise ships set to debut between now and 2028, and this is their latest projection. The cost will be $35 billion and over 100,000 total berths, and the ships are going to average 2,165 guests each. Obviously, Royal Caribbean is going to have some more 5,000 and 6,000 guest ships, and we'll see some of the other cruise lines with some of the smaller number of passengers on board. But something that it's just remarkable to see how the cruise industry has come back bigger and stronger than it was ever thought that it was going to be, especially during the early years of COVID. So very, very rewarding, very, very positive outlook, and I'm pleased to be able to talk about that. One of the things that's a little out of the ordinary that I found very interesting is Viking announced this week that its expedition team supported the discovery of a new colony of chinstrap penguins not previously known to science on Diaz Rock near Astrolabe Island in the Antarctica. And they are saying that the partnership between Viking and Oceanites, which is a scientific company, conducted the first survey in nearly 40 years of the known chinstrap penguin colony and discovered the additional colony on Diaz Rock. And they are preparing a scientific report that is supposed to be coming out soon. But I just found it very interesting to see how the different cruise lines are spreading into many, many areas that are just so far away from what one would imagine or think about when talking about a cruise line and what they're involved in doing. On a sad note, one of the things that is somewhat troubling, I have talked before about American Queen, which is a U.S. company of riverboats, and it was announced just this week that a Texas bankruptcy court has set March 25 as a deadline for interested parties to make qualified bids for the various assets of American Queen. They have four paddle-wheeled cruise ships for river operations, two coastal vessels, and a summer charter deal for an expedition ship that extends into 2031. So although it's sad to see, this company basically came out as one of the few, thankfully one of the few, that basically came out and said that there was no way they were going to be able to rebound from the horrors of the COVID years. So, again, it's very nice to see those participants who have been able to weather the storm and are coming back bigger and stronger than ever before. And it is unfortunate and sad to see that there have also been some of the sadder tales of companies not being able to make it. So it's unfortunate, but it is what it is, and hopefully we will see those ships still sailing under somebody else's flag. So all in all, some very interesting announcements this week. We're really seeing a stretch out in terms of the number of cruise lines that are expanding, the number of ships that they have, the different itineraries that they have going, and we've talked recently about some of the awesome world tours that are underway and are being planned, and once again, there are all of the regular cruises, 3-day cruises, 4-day cruises, 7-day cruises, 10-day, 11-day, 14-day, all the way up to, world cruises. So cruise industry is definitely here to stay. And we will say to our listening public one more time, anybody who is interested in exploring possible cruise vacations, please give us a call. We'll be happy to talk with you and do the research, find some good alternatives for you to consider, and help you find a good possibility for a dream vacation that you want to have come true.
Excellent information. So for those people that are looking, make sure you go to harshmantravel.com, harshmantravel.com, and or you can always catch me if you wanted to. Find my phone number on the website. I can always forward you over to Pam and Ron Harshman, where they can kind of make sure they handle that travel needs. But go to harshmantravel.com. You can hear this again on buildingfortuneradio.com/Harshman or Harshman Travel. And Ron, I know next Friday's probably coming into either like holiday or religious. Are we doing a radio show next Friday? If not, we can wish everybody Happy Easter or Passover, whatever's going on.
Right, yeah, we should probably plan on doing a replay.
So we'll do this radio show again as a replay, unless we change our mind. We can do that for sure. And everybody, happy holidays. Make sure everything is safe, and safe travels, and make sure you book all your travel needs with Harshman Travel. So on that note, we're going to catch everybody next week. Or maybe, well, we'll be here next week with a replay of this and or a live show. We'll see you soon. Thanks, everyone.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Harshman Travel Radio Show segment on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Meagle. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website to hear previous radio shows with Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Meagle. Pam and Ron's success as entrepreneurs has allowed them to pursue their passion in the travel industry. Listen to Harshman Travel Radio Show and learn about Pam and Ron as they discover the joy that comes from being part of the travel industry. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Meagles and I want to say thanks for listening and ask you to spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.